Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Right, hello. Hello, welcome to the show. Eurovision final tickets sell out in 36 minutes. Pretty impressive. Tickets for the Eurovision Song Contest live final sold out in 36 minutes. Nine events around the UK after some fans were faced with error messages and holding screens. It would be fun to go, wouldn't it? It's long, though, isn't it? It is long. Mm. It's a long thing, isn't it? It's even long when you watch on telly in the comfort of your own home. But loads of fun. Birdie is Bookie's favourite to rep UK at Eurovision. The Bookie's favourite to represent the UK at Eurovision 2023 is Birdie, the singer-songwriter who became famous in 2011 for her cover of Bon Iver's millennial indie kid anthem, Skinny Love. I have no idea what any of that means that I just said at all. I don't know who Birdie is. I don't know who Bon Iver is. I can't remember Skinny Love. And I don't... Oh, it's Bon Iver. That's why. But it's spelled Bon Iver. There's a place called Iver off the A40, and it's spelled like that. And Bon is a separate word. So I'm going for Bon Iver. It doesn't work. Unless you're at the meeting.
I'm with you, Chris.
It's Bon Iver, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's Bon Iver. You are with me, which is nice. Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday.
And Fridays.
Yeah, great. Girls to be offered equal sports in schools for the first time in a bid to cement Lioness's legacy. And this is an International Women's Day story, isn't it? That's why it's there. Girls and boys will be offered the same sports in schools for the first time, the government has announced, following a campaign by I to ensure the Lioness's legacy translated into better PE opportunities for schoolgirls. I was thinking about lions over the weekend because we saw a lion, an actual lion, and we heard it roar. It was so loud. So loud. Have you heard it?
It goes inside your bones, doesn't it?
So you've heard a real lion roar.
Yeah, and you feel it inside you.
It's the loudest thing, isn't it? I mean, I've actually heard a couple of explosions in my life, real explosions, and they are. They're just ridiculously loud. We once fired a cannon on the Big Breakfast, and that was the loudest thing I've ever heard. That without question in my life, that's the loudest thing I've ever heard. It was so loud, and because of the compression on the telly, you know, we watched it back after the show was over. We all went to watch it back, saying, "How loud is it on the telly?" Went, because all the sound is compressed, but it set off every car alarm within like a mile of the studio. It was a really small cannon. It was a really small one.
Why did you fire a cannon?
What did you aim it at?
Yeah.
Well, we just had a guy in who sort of curated and collected cannons. He was a cannon person.
Did you hit something with
it? No, it was a blank, wasn't it? It was a blank. Why would you want to fire a cannon at someone?
Well, I wouldn't see how far it would go.
Who have you got in your sights today? She's very feisty today, Rachel. I like it. It's going to be interesting. No, but I was thinking about lions over the weekend, and then I was thinking about lions yesterday because a friend of mine talked about a monotard.
A monotard.
A monotard.
Like a leotard.
Yes.
But a monotard.
Yes, that's what it is. So it's the mono version of the leotard. I think it might be, what's his name? Wes. You know, the
Borat.
Green. Borat.
That's a mankini.
He calls it a mankini.
Or right.
But I think that's a monotard. I think that's actually officially a monotard.
And when your friend was discussing buying one?
No, because he wears one for his sport.
What's his sport?
I don't know. I was scared to ask.
I think we need to know what the sport is.
It might be Brazilian jiu-jitsu. I think he wears it underneath his. I don't know anyway. The point. It's a martial art of some sort. He wears a monotard. And I'm thinking, monotard, leotard. And then I just started thinking about the word leotard because it has L-E-O in it, which is, you know, there's a lion aspect to the word Leo. So I found out, I thought, why is a leotard? You know, because then I thought, what does tard mean? Because obviously Leo means lion, and if you're wearing a leotard, you could do quite liony things sometimes, like an acrobat or a trapeze artist, something like that. So I thought, so you're a lion something. Because I'm fascinated by words. You know I'm fascinated by words. I think they're really interesting. So I went to look up the etymology of leotard, thinking, well, I know the lion bit. It's the tard bit I'm now interested in. Tard means late, doesn't it?
Tardy
means late. So can you be? Why would you be wearing? Why would you be a late lion if you're an acrobat? Because that's where it goes with me. But leotard isn't made up of two words in Latin or anything. It's named after a trapeze artist, a French trapeze artist called, I think his name's Jean Leotard. Jules Lyotard from the 19th century. And it's named after him because it's what he wore.
Oh.
Are you sure that your friend was talking when he was talking about his monotard?
Yes.
About clothing? Because I just looked up monotard. I'd quite like to see one.
Right.
And it turns out it's a diabetes medication.
It's insulin.
Yeah, no, but it's definitely a leotard as well. Because he talked about, unless he's yanking my chain. But I don't really care, because it gets us to the fact that a leotard isn't named after a late lion. It's named after Jules Lyotard.
Lion.
He was anything but a late lion. Anyway, that's how, you get a story about the lionesses. We have. See, you dive into the curiosity of anything, and it's just really interesting, isn't it? I love it. What else is going down? Greg's. Anything but going down. Greg's going up to open 150 shops and extend opening time. Certain Greg's outlets are going to go 24/7, so you can get brown food all day long
and all night.
All night, which is how Ben and Jerry's sort of.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm. The Ben and Jerry's story is amazing. You know the Ben and Jerry's.
Munchies.
It's someone. They recognised. Ben and Jerry, you know, they came from a certain culture and they were in a certain geographical location. It's all in their book. And they didn't have so much a hotline. You could call their cold line. And people called it mostly at about between 2 a.m. and 4 a.m. in the morning.
Wow.
To inquire about ice cream where they lived in the student. It's
brilliant.
Great. It's cool, isn't it? Oh, dear. Loads more stuff going on. There's so much going on. Felix is here with coffee. Hurrah!
Yay!
Never more welcome than today.
Thank you, Felix.
Today on the show, we have Natalie Imbruglia, and she's going to be talking about her International Women's Day special show, which is on the station. Felix, don't go anywhere, because I'm getting on to you now. And Zach Braff is in today. Now, Zach Braff, Hollywood writer-director, also huge star in Scrubs. He's also in the prequel to Tilly's favourite film, Cheaper by the Dozen. But he's not in Cheaper by the Dozen 2, which is her favourite film. He's in Cheaper by the Dozen 1, which isn't called Cheaper by the Dozen 1 because it's just Cheaper by the Dozen, isn't it? Anyway, Zach Braff, I think he's 6 foot two. Now, I've been saying I'm 6 foot two for ages. So if he's taller than me, I'm not 6 foot two. I'm shrinking.
I keep saying that I'm 6 foot. If anyone asks me, I'm 6 foot.
I think you are 6 foot.
Yes. And also, you know, we've got one of those, how tall are you? I'm as tall as a, you know, baby giraffe, or I'm as tall as a, one of those things up on. And I mean, you can measure your kids and their friends and stuff.
Yeah.
And I'm absolutely fastidious. No one's allowed to do that in shoes. But no one checked the checker. So even though I'm like in charge of that.
Check the checker.
And I did mine in shoes.
Yeah, of course you would.
So I got an extra centimetre min.
But Zach Braff, because you're taller than any of us on the show, aren't you? You're 6 foot four.
Apart from Stuart.
Stuart. But here. He's not on the show.
No, yeah.
He's technically. Yeah. Well, he's part of the gang.
He's 6'4".
He says he's 6'3", but I think he's 6'4".
On my Tinder profile, I put 6'4". On everything else.
Of course you do. On your Tinder profile, you put 16'4".
Yeah.
They measure me in hands. I'm like a horse, man. I'm so tall. Good. Anyway, Zach Braff is six. They reckon he's 6 foot two. We'll find out later.
Back to back.
That'd be nice. Okay, so loads of things to talk about today, as well as what's going on in the papers, of course. Vassos is laying down the gauntlet. Here's a challenge. Vassos mentioned something to me today as he entered the studio, and I said, that's the best invention I've ever heard of. Back in on The Big Breakfast, back in 92, 93, 94, when I was part of the Seam and Gabby, Roslyn and Sig and Zag, we used to do Invention Corner, and it was every Thursday, I think it was. And we just used to have, it was, in a way, it was sort of a precursor to Dragon's Den, I suppose. Because some of the things we featured went on to be unbelievably commercially successful. And we always had whoever'd come up with them, we always had them on. And some had patented things and some hadn't patented things. But this would be a candidate for Invention Corner. If you know of a better invention than this, or you have something in your house that's better than this, or something in your life that's better than this, or something in your imagination that's better than this. By the way, I'm reading a great book at the moment called The Imagination Muscle. Should get the guy who wrote that on. He also happens to be the managing director of Condé Nast Everything. So he's the guy who gave Edward Enninful his job.
Oh.
And he writes books. You know, people who've got amazing jobs who also find time to write books in between and have a life. How's that work? Yeah. How's that work? Andrew Marr was always doing that, and his books were really thick. He's on the telly all the time. When does he write his books? Mm.
And they were really well researched as well. I mean, they had to be.
They were proper books, not like Vast and Mine. So we can talk about that. Also, yesterday, I was introduced to the noble art of urethral milking.
Oh, how was your urologist appointment?
Well, that's what I'm talking about. Yeah. Thank you for asking a needless question as I'm already talking about it. It's only because you wanted to get your heated wallpaper chat on the air straight away.
No, it's not. I was giving you a springboard and you decided that it was a speed bump. Incidentally, why are they called speed bumps? If anything, they slow you down.
Because they're actual bumps in the road?
Because they're supposed to...
Yeah, they're they should bumps. Be called slow bumps. Slow down bumps.
Yeah, I think you should go. Why don't you go back to the Serpentine and have your swim? Because he didn't have his cold water swim this morning. And he said, I was just giving you a springboard. I was already in the air doing somersaults.
Everyone needs a springboard.
Oh, Rachel in Snowy Hindon, long time listener, first time texter. We have Snowy in Wiltshire. She says, listen to this. I'm supposed to be taking a group of Nordic walkers out today, but I'm not sure.
Then...
You can't.
This is ideal.
You can't declare a snow day and cancel your Nordic walking day, Rachel. That's not on.
Yeah.
If that's the case, you're not really into Nordic walking. She does say, but I reckon we'll go sledding instead. You can't cancel Nordic walking. Anyway, right. It's 7:33. There was a big moon last night. Yeah, check it out on Instagram. Have you zoomed in?
Yeah.
What do you think?
Amazing.
So it is, isn't it? Mm. I'm not sure anybody landed. Anyway, at Virgin Radio UK, at Chris Evans TFI, zoom in to a little still photograph that I took yesterday over Marlow. It was called a worm moon on moon last night. It was a really big, bright moon. It looked like the sun, depending on your perspective and the time of the day that you spied it. There's a beautiful moonrise yesterday. Do you know why the worm moon's called a worm moon?
No, go on.
Because... she is the moon that softens the ground for the worms to do their thing. Because she's at the right angle to do that with her gravity and her power. Isn't that great?
Yep.
That's why she's called the worm moon.
The Chris Evans Breakfast Show with Cinch. Cars without the faff.
It's 7:34.
This is Virgin Radio News.
The UN says it's very concerned about the people the UK will be turning away under its new illegal migration bill. The policy would see anyone who arrives via small boats detained and then sent home or elsewhere and not allowed to claim asylum, even if their claim is legitimate. Girls will be granted equal access to all school sports as part of a package of measures unveiled by the government following a campaign by the Euro-winning Lionesses. Schools in England will be told they must deliver a minimum of 2 hours of PE each week and that girls and boys should be able to play the same sports in lessons and extracurricular clubs. A weekly weight loss injection has been approved for use by the NHS in England. It's called semaglutide and makes people feel fuller so they eat less. And the Met Office has warned of significant disruption as parts of the UK could see up to 40 centimetres of snow today as a cold snap from the Arctic sweeps across the country. That's your news on Virgin
There's
Radio.
There's lots of semaglutide news in the paper today. Is it because of this?
Yes.
Okay, because Elon Musk has been talking about it. Yeah, Jeremy Clarkson started taking it.
It's a treatment that's very popular in the US and it's been much talked about among celebrities. What's been approved in NHS England is for use among people who are already in NHS weight loss clinics who already have additional health issues, but they are saying that it would just be for a maximum of 2 years.
Yeah, so you can get it privately then, because people are over here, aren't you? Know, I mean, but if you do, so its efficacy is because it makes you feel.
So it recreates a hormone in the body that we produce when we eat, so it makes you feel like you're full.
Right.
So you're not hungry.
Like drinking a glass of water.
Yes.
So you could do that if you wanted to.
You could try that.
Yeah, why don't you do that, everyone? Richard in Windsor says, not enough snow for a snow day, but definitely enough to cause absolute chaos in school. Hard hats and high vis at the ready. Please pray for all us school teachers. Yeah, that's interesting, isn't it? When you're caught not between a rock and a hard place, but between a snowball, a snowman and a snow day, but it doesn't quite happen one way or the other. Steve from Cambois. Is that Cambois? Anybody know how to say that? Cambois. I've never seen that before. Cambois. Cambois in Northumberland. Have you heard of that before?
No, but we've got Chesham boys.
I like it.
It's spelled B-O-I-S.
Oh, yes, of course you have. Yeah. Yes. Hello, Chris. Yesterday we woke up to 2 to 3 inches of snow. Today, nothing at all. Snow's gone, but it's -3. Well, therefore, the front became a band, didn't it then? So the band of weather has moved down here. So we're getting the snow. Now, it's not as cold as up north. It's very blizzardy down here. The snow's sticking in parts, and not in London because we are radiated. We're sort of super radiated, so we're a bit warmer. Wasn't quite sticking in Marlow, but you had sticking snow yesterday.
Yeah, well, because Vassos had said to me that he and Caroline were going to have date day at my direction.
Right.
So I'd suggested a few places they could go.
That's nice.
And then I texted him. Well, when I woke up from my nap and could see a blizzard outside my window, I texted him going, oh, please tell me you're not caught in the snow.
Did you go?
We didn't, because one of the reasons we didn't go was because we thought, well, why would we go north when we're only just south of the snow blizzard?
Right.
So we went southwest, actually.
Good choice.
Where did you go? What did you do?
We went on a walk. We haven't been on a walk for ages, and we were going to go to Black Park Country Park.
Yeah, where they film part of the Forbidden Forest in Harry Potter.
Nice.
Eli
would love that.
There you go.
Okay, that's a done deal for the weekend.
Yeah. Instead,
oh, it's great. It's got a great cafe.
All right.
Instead, we had a bit of a chat with Matthew. We had it was one of the chats with Matthew. He sort of appeared home at 11 o'clock. He's like, Matthew. You know you're meant to be at school. Right, we're going to Starbucks. We're going to have a little chat. So we had a chat with Matthew,
right,
which sort of curtailed our day a bit. But I think a productive one. And then we went to Wimbledon Common and Wimbledon Village.
Nice. Christine in Taftswell, South Wales, says, morning, Chris and the gang. We moved into our forever cottage on Friday, so this is our first forever snow day in our new cottage. That's nice.
Oh! Yeah.
Because if you get in
and
the
right... And it's a cottage!
Yeah, if you're getting the right snow, it's Christmas card day, isn't it?
Yeah, you've got holiday.
You've got to go down, down the path. I suppose what you need to do is go out the back door, go out the back gate, all the way around. I'm just seeing you have a dry stone wall. That's what I'm seeing in my head.
Yeah, definitely.
And then you go back into the front, in front of your own house, having not left any marks, traceable or photographicable footprints or tracks in the snow, very moon-like. And you take a photograph of your cottage. That's your Christmas card, isn't it?
Done.
And we didn't think this was coming, did we? You know, Wednesday, March the 8th, I didn't think it was coming. Because a couple of weeks ago, it was very warm. Do you remember? It was 15 degrees, T-shirt weather.
It's going to be again next week. Next week, as we come into work, the coldest it's going to be is 7 degrees and highs of 14, 13. So it's only this week, folks.
So Cheltenham breathing a huge sigh of relief. Cheltenham Festival next week. Imagine had it been this week. Mm. What are they saying about... Because TalkSport's all over the Cheltenham Festival.
Of course.
It's like they're already there,
yeah,
but they're not there.
They're talking about it a lot.
Yeah, I mean, their bums are still in the studio, but their hearts and their heads and their livers are actually already in Cheltenham.
Yes.
Is that right?
Exactly. Okay. Exactly. Looking forward to their very long, very liquid lunches that they enjoy at the festival. And what they said about the weather is, it's going to rain. I mean, that could affect the going. And what the experts are saying is, if you look at a weather app and you see, you know, whatever's forecast and you don't like it, just keep looking at weather apps until you get the right forecast.
Is that what you did when you were looking for footprints on the moon? Just keep looking for the right site that gives you the right answer.
Look, here's the thing. In the last 10 years or so, we've had really good, like high def, telescopic photography.
What you mean since Neil Armstrong has no longer been with us, which you didn't even know?
Since the late 2000s, he died in 2012, Neil Armstrong, in Ohio.
You've Googled it.
High definition photos taken by the Lunar Reconnaissance Orbiter of the Apollo landing sites have captured the descent stages and the tracks left by the astronauts. We photographed the flags. Five of the six flags planted, the American flags, are still there.
It's like they were selling them, wasn't it? It's like they set up a kiosk.
The exception is that of Luna 11.
Please exit the moon through the gift shop.
It's sort of laid. It's flat on the surface because it was blown over by the ascent propulsion system.
Was it?
Yes. What do you mean, was it?
By the wind.
I can't believe. By the way, you are one in four people in the UK doesn't believe that we put a man on the moon.
I didn't say that. I didn't say I don't believe it. This is really... That's not... I didn't say I don't believe it. I said I used to believe it. I said now I'm not so sure. I didn't say I don't believe it. You keep saying I don't believe it.
Mortgage either way. Did we or didn't we?
Definitely we did. According to this new information you just given to me right now. Thank you for clearing it up.
Thank you.
Megan Exeter, my wife Philippa and I are doing the Exeter Half Marathon in May and have a training run scheduled for this morning. I love the expression, if it ain't raining, it ain't training. I like that so much. I actually salivated at that text. Mm-hmm. I actually, a little bit of spittle came out of my mouth. It's such a great phrase. Mm-hmm. But what do you say if it's snowing? We'll come up with something. If it ain't raining, it ain't training. If it ain't snowing, you ain't going.
Get going, yeah. Don't get going. Subbing.
Well, no, how about what I just said?
Yeah, yours was good.
Thank you. Very chilly, but we'll get it done, says Mike in Exeter. Cheltenham racetrack. To storm charts, the famous Cheltenham Roar has been turned into a music track that is being tipped to top the charts. Can we hear that, please? The studio falls apart. Studio's had enough of this show.
It's just your desk.
By the way, if you do like the show, or if you want to check that you really don't like the show, we have a brand new podcast available from 10 o'clock every morning. It's called The Chris Evans Show. It's not this show. It's 40 minutes to an hour and a half-ish, depending on what's going on the day of us. Like, if you have an hour's workout at lunchtime and you want to hear something upbeat and chipper and positive, take us with you wherever you go, or if you're on a drive, The Chris Evans Show, now available as a podcast from 10 o'clock. It's not the show, okay? It's not a rewind. It's not a listen-again thing. It's his whole own thing. Eddie Izzard announces name she's wanted to use since age 10, saying, "I'm going to be Susie." Comedian and aspiring politician Eddie Izzard has announced a new name she says she's wanted to use since childhood. It's Susie. And Susie Izzard is on the show tomorrow to talk about that and many other things as well. Cheltenham in one.
They're off.
This is called the Cheltenham Roar by DJ Cuddles.
Jump number one.
Well, that's enough of that. Bristol named Britain's pothole capital, where nearly 80% of roads need improvement. Because this weather will create more potholes, won't it? And more sort of cracks and schisms in our roads, because that's what happens, isn't it? You get cracks because of the cold, don't you? That's what happens there. And then whatever's happening weather-wise usually thaws out, and then the water gets underneath, and then you've got issues. Basically, forever. It seems that we have this forever. I wonder if this is something better than tarmac. I mean, tarmac did all right. Tarmacadden. Were they the Tarmacadden family? Is that why it's called tarmac? I don't know. Come on, Mr. Google.
Okay. it makes sense.
It's not a conspiracy theory. It's just a question. Right. Barbara, 85, proves age is just a number as she sets 10K PB. This is so inspirational. One grandmother has proven age just is a number after setting her personal best time in a 10K race for charity. Barbara Thackeray celebrated her 85th birthday in a unique way by completing the Run Northwest Trafford 10K on Sunday to raise funds for St Anne's Hospice. Despite being the only person to run in the 80-plus category, Barbara finished the race in a personal best time of 85 minutes, much to the delight of her family and supporters. She's raised over £2,000 and she still has a Just Giving page. So it's just look at, if you want to give her some money, Barbara Thackeray and Just Giving, if you can do that. And 10K in 85 minutes is 6 miles in 85 minutes. So she's 13 minutes something a mile, which is pretty good. It's got, you know, I've finished marathons in 13 plus something a mile and still, you know, ended up in under 5 hours. So well done to her. That is absolutely awesome. Answer.
So tarmac gets its name from John London McAdam,
yeah,
who first introduced his unique macadamizing method in 1820. The tar part of tarmac, yeah, comes from the extra layer that a businessman named Edgar Purnell chose to add to McAdam's macadamised pavement.
It's crazy, isn't it? So if you come up with a process, which is basically a chemical process, isn't it, I suppose, and you say, well, what is that? What are you doing there? And you think, well, my name's McAdam. That sounds like, if I eyes that up, that's going to work. I'm macadamising it, is what I'm doing. You would hornise it, wouldn't you?
Yep.
You would Alexanderise it.
Yes.
I would Evansise it.
I think I'd use the Vassos bit. I'd Vassosise. I would vassalize.
I think you already do.
Do you vass it? So yesterday we were talking about Yorkies and we were talking about Snickers and marathons and things like that. And so Mira sent me a pic yesterday afternoon of her fair hands purchasing, well, first of all, brandishing a Snickers and a Yorkie bar, the original Yorkie bar, the blue and the yellow one. But she says, actually, after she's taken the picture, the snap, she deferred to a biscuit and a raisin Yorkie, which is the greatest. I have to say, that's the greatest piece of confection, item of confection I've ever had in my life. The thing about Yorkie bars is they used to be massive, didn't they? Or were they? Were we just smaller because I was a kid? Mm. No, I think they were massive as well. I think it was a
combination.
It was a double.
I was always slightly intimidated by a Yorkie bar, whereas a Dairy Milk, I knew where I was with that.
Yeah, and the thing about the Yorkie bar is that they, you know, it was a trucker's ad, wasn't it? Trucker, big guy, big cab, big truck, big bar. I think that was the subliminal message there. Everything about this is big. And they were big and they were chunky, but they're not anymore. They're about the size of Club Biscuits. No, they're not. They're a bit bigger than Club Biscuits. But
I love a Club Biscuit.
So do I.
Orange.
Yeah, we brought some in. When you were off, we brought some Club Biscuits in. We had a Club Biscuit Day. We had a Penguin Day, Club Biscuit Day, Blue Ribbon Day, Breakaway Day. Had all that stuff going on. Do you think confection is like, or confectionery is like, you know, places? So the kind of places that you found boring as a kid, you find really interesting now, like the countryside and rivers and, you know, seaside walks and rambles and yumps and all that kind of stuff. Do you think chocolate bars are the same? Because, you know, if we were in a Blue Ribbon week, I was somewhat underwhelmed by that because they're too dry for your mouth, for the good of your mouth, aren't they?
Fun.
But now a Blue Ribbon, you go, wow, yeah. Or the, you know, the cheap sort of... the cheap chocolate wafers. Like, you go there and you go, yes, please. And aren't they sort of becoming a bit like oysters were? Because oysters used to be, they used to be a penny, didn't they? They used to be a penny and they were sold from barrels on the bars of pubs that used to be open for the dockers, especially around London and places like that. They were peasant food or peasant snacks or working class snacks. And then somebody got hold of them and said, let's just do some alchemy here. And they're now the most expensive things in the world. They really sort of, bordering on insignificant chocolate wafers now, they tend to bring a premium in the right packaging, don't they? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like the Buenos or, you know, the Kinder or...
Yeah, yeah. Kinder Bueno. They're
usually, you stick an Italian name on, a bit of shiny packaging, fiver. Aren't these the cheap ones that we used to get? Aren't they? I'm not saying they're the cheap ones. Do you know what you
don't? Oh, I don't. I know what you mean.
You know what I'm leading to.
Yeah.
So yesterday I talked about TalkSport. Because TalkSport are brilliant. We've already talked about them today. TalkSport and TalkSport 2. They're gearing up for Cheltenham is what they're doing. And I talked about TalkSport. And then I got on a run. TalkSport, TalkSport 2. And then I talked about Talk Radio and Talk TV and Times Radio and Virgin Radio UK and Virgin Radio Anthems and Virgin Radio Chilled and Virgin Radio 80s Plus and Virgin Radio's Pride. And I said, we are the wireless group. The thing is, we're not the wireless group anymore. We're news broadcasting. So there you go.
Yes, I knew that.
No, you didn't know that because you hadn't Googled it. Because the only thing is you know are what you Googled in the last 5 seconds. We're news broadcasting. There you go. So there you go. So from now on, we are news broadcasting. It wasn't a rap on the knuckles. It was like, oh, sorry, I forgot to tell you. We're no longer the Wireless Group. So if you want to set up a few radio stations and you fancy the name Wireless Group, apparently it's now up for grabs again. We are now news broadcasting. So we can't be NBC, though, can we? Because NBC is in America. Because we can't be the news broadcasting company. From NBC.
Well, if they're a corporation, we could be company.
Or group.
Here's the thing, because NBC in America stands for the National Broadcasting Company, doesn't it?
We're not sure.
So can we have the same initials as long as they don't mean the same? Can we be the BBC? Brilliant broadcasting company. Yeah, back on the BBC. We have a new advert in the papers today, and it features myself, and it features Graham, and it features lovely Ricky Wilson. Of course, we are not just... those three characters. We are, of course, the Jane... By the way, Jane Middlemiss, right, who absolutely smashes afternoons here every afternoon, Monday through Friday, 1 till 4. This Saturday, she's on Celebrity Mastermind. Why isn't she a guest on the show? Let's get her on Friday. Because Jane's on Celebrity Mastermind. It's already been recorded. Had it not been recorded, Vassos, you could have given her a few tips.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I was on Celebrity Mastermind with the soon-to-be Sir Stanley Johnson.
Well, not necessarily.
I know, it's going through process, isn't it? But Boris did say, and a knighthood for
my
dad.
No, I think the knighthood's going to happen, but I think he's requested Sir Dad. Because it rhymes with Sir Galahad or Sir Galadad,
yes.
Maybe. I'm not quite sure. Can't find the advert.
Here we go.
Here it is.
The Sun, page 33.
It's a great strap line. Off you go. Go on. Hang on. Do it in your big voice. Go on.
Leaving Radio 2. Make us your number one.
No, that's because of your intonation there.
Yeah, make us your number one.
No. Leaving Radio 2? Are you leaving Radio 2? Not,
oh.
It sounds like we're leaving Radio 2. We've already left it.
Yeah. Oh, are you leaving? Okay.
That's what it means.
Now I get it. Leaving Radio 2? Make us your number one.
Yes.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
It's always great to get an Imbruglia in your studio, but when an Imbruglia comes in, a little bit shabby chic, a little bit sort of bespectacled from a sunglasses point of view, after a rock and roll night out with the one, the only Katie Tunstall a few hours ago. It's even better.
I thought you were going to know the actual time.
No,
Katie's manager was threatening to text you.
Yeah. So you were with Katie Tunstall last night at the O2 Shepherd's Bush Empire. Did you jump on stage?
I jumped on stage.
What a laugh!
I know. I was so nervous. She's amazing.
So are you. You're amazing too. Why were you nervous?
I don't know. I think it's that thing of when you're doing your own show, that's one thing.
Yeah, it's one thing.
But someone that you're a fan of.
Yeah.
I mean, I know I've written with her and everything, but I was just like, oh my God, what if I mess it up? And I was like, Natalie, I had a little chat to myself.
Did you?
At this point in your life, if you can't sing two of your own songs.
Yeah.
At someone's show, and then I said yes, and it was great.
Yeah, and it was her crew and her crowd as well.
So you've Shepherd's
been
Bush.
Respectful. You're thinking, you know, do they want me interrupting this? That kind of thing. But of course, I bet they went crazy, didn't they?
She's so kind like that.
Yeah,
she kind of got them all kind of.
People
into
love you. We love you. We love you so much. Vassas has spent all night. He's been up all night too on this intro.
I have. What's it like to rulia the charts with 10 million album sales? What's it like to rulia the Masked Singer? To
rulia
Neighbours?
Rulia?
What's it like to rulia Virgin Radio with an International Women's Day show at 7 p.m. tonight? What's it like to Natalie Imbruglia?
Well, we'll take it. We'll take it. Natalie doesn't mind.
I love it.
So last night, let's talk a bit more about last night before this brilliant documentary. We talk about this documentary that's on tonight at 7 o'clock on Virgin Radio for International Women's Day. Was there a sort of International Women's Eve vibe around last night, around Katie?
Well, I felt the vibes.
Did you?
I felt the vibes.
Yeah,
look, she's just an incredible artist and a live performer and someone I've hugely respect for, you know, how she's handled herself with her career and everything.
Yeah, and what I like about it, she's such a free spirit. I know she's, you know, with a long-term partner, but they lived in Venice Beach and then they moved up to the hills into one of the canyons there. And then they had some fun. And then they've just decided to move to Santa Fe in New Mexico.
I know.
And she just literally follows her nose or her spirit, you know, or the vibe or whatever muse comes and tells her to go where next.
Yeah, but also I think just how she conducts herself with her career. It's a really hard, you've got to stay on it. I mean, she produces so much work.
Yep.
She's so positive all of the time.
She really
I don't know,
is.
I think she's great.
All right, so what stage of the gig did you go on?
The acoustic part, kind of halfway
through.
Halfway-ish,
yeah.
Halfway through.
And did they know, did the crowd know you were?
It's a great three-piece. The vibe is amazing.
Yeah.
She's got the two musicians that she's playing with, one who's plays with the Gorillaz and Andy, the drummer, who's with Razorlight. So the vibe, it was amazing. Lots of pastel colours going on. Lots of dancing.
That's a lot of power there with that trio.
Yeah, it was really
good.
That's
amazing.
It was really
and
good.
And so were you a surprise for the audience?
I posted about it just before.
Right.
So some people would have known, some people wouldn't
have known. Was that like a soft launch, just so they knew? Is that a bit of insurance?
We just decided. We took a picture in the dressing room and we just decided to do it before
Why
the show.
Why not? Why not?
But we sang a song that we wrote together for my album Firebird called Nothing Missing.
Brilliant.
Which was great. And then, of course, we did Torn. You can't not do Torn.
And did you stick around?
I did stick around.
Hence the shades.
Hence the shades.
What was the post-show Katie Tunstall action like?
It was lovely.
Yeah.
My producers were there. We've got a lot of mutual friends and it was just all positive vibes.
Is she playing again tonight? Why have I... Is she, Guildford tonight. Okay, she's in the middle of it all. Right, you and this amazing documentary. I haven't heard it yet. I'm going to listen to it tonight at 7 o'clock.
I like that you're calling it a documentary. That sounds much more serious.
Well, whatever you want to call it. It's just an hour of gratitude. It's an hour of reflection, I would imagine. And it's on Virgin Radio tonight at 7 p.m. International Women's Day special with Natalie Imbruglia. Give us some highlights. Whet our appetite, if you don't mind, Natalie.
Well, it's hard to pick. I mean, you've got a limited amount of time to pick your favourite artist. So I just picked people that I've got funny anecdotal stories who've influenced either my music or just me as a person, people that might have got to meet or run into in my youth, like Tori Amos, who I once met in a bathroom before her show. I was like, do I say hello in a bathroom?
Let's dive into that. So where was the show? Why were you there?
Well, there's a funnier story which I talk about on the show. I met her tour manager in a club. I was probably underage in Melbourne.
Right.
And I met her tour manager. And right. I was like, you're kidding me. Right. You work for Tori Amos. Right. And he stupidly said to an Aussie, if ever you're in the UK, call me. So I did. Can I come stay? And he's like, I could have been a serial killer. I said, yeah, but you're not because you're Tori Amos' tour manager.
Yeah.
And he played me music for the first time, took me to the show. And so I had this rose quartz crystal because I'm a bit of a hippie, same as Tori.
And you always have been?
Yeah, always have been.
Where's that come
feathers
from?
And crystals and I don't know. I was always like that.
Nice.
And she sings about it. So I was like, I had a rose quartz crystal to give to her. And I'm in the loo and I'm like, so I give her the crystal?
You give her the crystal, man.
Yeah, she was so lovely. So we had a chat in the loo. Not in the loo, nice. But, you know.
Okay, she is amazing. What's she doing now, Tori Amos?
She just put out new music. She's incredible.
She landed like fully formed. She was massive, wasn't she?
It was that Little Earthquakes album, which I remember being in Melbourne listening to that. So
she's on.
She's on there.
I hear Mama Cass gets a mention.
Mama Cass.
Tell me about
you
and Mama Cass.
Well, I'm telling all the stories that are on the show.
Is that
all right?
Of course it is, yeah.
Okay, great.
100%.
Basically, my dad, one of the first vinyls I was ever given, I was really, really young, and my dad gave it to me and got me all excited. He was getting me this present. It was actually for him.
Right.
But I was like,
God bless
him. I was probably four.
Right.
And I'm like, what is this, Daddy? I didn't know what it was. But it's really nice because I wasn't listening to nursery rhymes. I was listening to Mums and the Poppers. I was listening to Carpenters, Beatles when I was really young. So I'm kind of grateful that he was selfish with my birthday presents.
Interesting. So interesting for so many reasons because... The whole Mama Cass vibe is very sort of lullaby like at times anyway. So you don't need nursery rhymes when you've got that kind of.
I had Mama Cass singing,
but you've
sleep.
Got kind of beautiful music going on, you know. And then you mentioned the Beatles. Who was the other?
Carpenters. So it just.
But very melodic, very sort of ethereal, but also 60s music for kids. We've always loved 60s music because it has a certain energy to it and it's quick and it gets on with it.
And the vocal harmonies and things like that.
Totally.
Beautiful.
And also, I think it's about the. What do I know? You're a musician. But it's about the energy. You know, in the way the songs were recorded then. They were simple and they crowded around the mic and they had to get on with it. And that somehow, that energy stays in the music.
You know,
do you think
so? Old school analog, I think, you know, you've got to move with the times, but there is something about the way they used to record music that
so
you
pure.
Just can't, yeah.
And yet it gets on with it. So Stuart, is Stuart in today? I don't know if he's in today. He may have been snowed in somewhere else so he couldn't get out. But Stuart... I went for a comfort break yesterday. Right,
what's a comfort?
I went for a pee.
Oh, and, okay. Sorry, that's in English.
And he said, I came out. He said, oh, that was a 60s station pee. So what do you mean by that? He said, well, you know, if you're DJing on a 60s station, you've got to get on with it because the songs are so short. I never heard that before. It's hilarious.
That is brilliant.
It is brilliant. So Joni Mitchell, tell
lots
me about...
Lots of toilet talk
tell me
this
about,
morning.
Yeah, because I have had this urology appointment yesterday.
Oh.
I was introduced to urethral milking.
Yeah. Sorry?
Urethral milking. What? It's highly beneficial as one matures.
Okay.
Yeah, let's leave it there for now.
Okay.
Tell me about you and Joni Mitchell.
So I'm giving it again another story.
No,
from
come
the thing.
On. Okay. It doesn't matter.
So I loved Joni Mitchell. Yeah. I remember listening to Court and Spark, Kaijira, all these albums when I lived in... You know, I talk about the first time you're introduced to an artist, you can't ever get that back.
No.
Think about some of your favourite artists the first time you heard them when you're young and
magic.
Impressionable. And yeah, and this is back when you used to look at the lyrics while you were reading the song. So I actually once left one of her songs on a guy's answering machine.
Did you sing
that I liked
it? Or?
It's called Help Me. The lyrics Help Me, I Think I'm Falling in Love.
Did you sing it or did you play it? Was
I
it her?
I played her song down the thingy and then hung up. It didn't work.
Can we put Rachel's microphone on, please?
Did you leave your name? Or was it just he had to guess?
No, I just left the...
Did it work?
No. Well, because he probably didn't know who it was from.
Darn that, Joni Mitchell. Why is Joni Mitchell calling me? By the way, Jedward, we have still haven't got to the bottom of the Jedward mystery. Jedward keep leaving, or one of them. I don't know. Do you see? Well, you only identify as single. I don't know. Jedward keep leaving voice messages on members of our team's phones, and we don't know why, but we are impressed with the quality of the line.
What do they say?
What do they say? Do they sing?
I can play them for you now. Okay,
oh, so please do.
The first one was left on Tilly, who brought you in today. Lovely, yes. terrific Tilly. The first one was left by Jedward on sometime between Sunday evening and Monday morning on Tilly's phone. Here we go. This is actual Jedward. We think it's Jedward. Could be deep fake. Who knows?
Hey, Tilly Hughes. Loving your vibes. Honestly, your scarf is such a vibe. And your profile photo, really, really cool. So stage epic.
Stage epic.
Yeah. And we thought, well, that's interesting. What happens next? The next night, Monday night, this happened on Jane's phone. Aussie Jane there, fellow Aussie.
Hi.
Hi, Aussie Jane.
Aussie.
Woke up to this on Tuesday morning.
Hi, Jane. Bobby is a legend. So happy that you both found each other. Loving the smiles, loving the auras. Like, honestly, what a cool second name. Cheese Man. Like, such a cool vibe. You could have been a singer. You could have been an actor. Jane Cheeseman wins the Oscar. Loads of love from Jedward.
What is going on with Jedward?
I think Jedward's trying to be sexy on that one.
Yeah.
There was a bit of bedroom eyes going on there.
Excuse me, Jedward. What do you mean, could have been a singer, could have been an actor? She's an amazing producer. She's not could have been. She is a bean. She is.
She is a bean.
right, okay, who else tonight? It's like your own Desert Island dish. You get to pick your own. You get to do your own Desert Island dish show.
The hardest part is that obviously there's so many, but I kind of just...
And we're going for the women because it's International Women's Days, of course.
Yes. Yeah. Well, Katie Tunstall gets a mention. There's Alanis Morissette because when I was writing my first album, I was in LA.
Yeah.
And I remember there was an artist called Poe, there was Alanis Morissette, and then there was Gwen Stefani. Yeah. And I just... Alanis vibe. I was into that whole baggy pants, as we know, the androgynous thing. And I was like, yeah, her vibe. That's cool.
All right. I'm going to defer to Rachel here. Rachel, over to you, because you love Alanis Morissette.
Oh, I went to see Alanis Morissette last summer with Beth Orton supporting.
I love Beth Orton.
Oh, it was just deep, deep joy. Alanis Morissette is genius.
I think when you're a teenager, to have someone like that, that you can look up to, you know, she did stand out as being... you know, different, and on International Women's Day, she's someone that kind of, you know, she paved the path for people like me.
Trailblazer.
Yes, thank you, that's the word.
Absolutely.
Sorry, I haven't had a lot of sleep.
Stop saying sorry, you're amazing.
Ticker.
You're amazing, Natalie. We're so grateful you even bothered. Most people just cancel their meeting. They say, I got COVID, tested positive for COVID. weren't you at the Katie Tunstall gig last night giving it all the beans? Yeah, but, you know, in between then, I got COVID, actually. I went to the president, offered a Covaccino. Yeah. And it gave me COVID. Oh, no, but you turned up.
Of course.
It's amazing. So, all right, here we go. Beth Orton or Alanis Morissette?
I have to go with Alanis.
You have to go with Alanis.
Yeah. I would also have to concur.
Yeah.
Alanis as somebody to scream sing along to in those moments when you need it.
Nobody did angry like her.
Yeah.
If you listen to my album, you'll hear a few of those.
Yeah.
So how many of the people that feature on your amazing hour of International Amazing Musical Women tonight here on Virgin Radio, and by the way, it'll be on or available thereafter forever and ever, amen, which is great because that's a brilliant bit of technology nowadays. How many of them do you know, have you met, have you worked with?
Let me see. Well, I didn't meet Mama Cass.
Yeah.
There's Whitney Houston, didn't get to meet her.
Right. Have you seen the film?
Madonna I've met. Sorry?
Have you seen the film? Whitney Houston's film.
I have.
Do you like it?
Amazing.
Yeah. My Eli saw it, my 10-year-old, and he said it's off the chain.
I mean, that voice, that woman. I used to do shows for my family when I was a kid because I remember that first when one of her first albums came out. Oh, I Want to Dance with Somebody and all of that. I used to do shows and try and be Whitney.
Could you do it? Could you...
I thought I was doing a really good job.
I bet you were.
I don't think I was.
Is there footage?
I don't think I was.
Is there audio?
It.
Can we go to the audio? Can we put it up?
I'm sure my family could do a number on me because I used to put performances on and get everybody lined up and invite the neighbours and do my Whitney.
How long?
So I wanted to be a star.
My kids do that, right? And they've got sort of more show than go. You know, they don't know all the lyrics. How much did you know? How much of a student were you?
Oh, no, I was very into it.
Yeah, I bet you were. I bet you were amazing.
Go, you know, yeah. Yeah, oh. I mean, so there's Whitney. I'm trying to think. Well, Kylie, obviously.
Mentioned Madonna, who you have met.
I have met her.
Have you worked with her?
No.
Okay, she's back. Are you going to go and see her?
The show. I'd love to see the show.
Have you seen her?
But have I seen her?
Have you seen her performing?
Not recently.
Have you ever seen
her? Have I ever? Yes, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I met her after the Grammys. I got nominated for a Grammy, which is ridiculous.
Excuse me, round of applause.
Yeah.
How was that night?
That was amazing.
Pretty darn amazing, I would imagine.
And, you know, Bono took me to the Madonna's after party, just as you do.
Yeah.
I mean...
At her house?
No. It was like a Grammy. She did her own party.
Right.
Madonna can throw her own party and everybody comes after the Grammys. Can you imagine?
Bono.
I turned up with Bono because I said, I'm not invited. He's like, I'm taking you. Yeah. Come on.
Bono will get you in.
I was about to do an Irish accent and I just thought that. And so Bono got me to the party. But I do remember her wanting to meet me after the Grammys and kind of having this. I was like, I'm talking to Madonna. This is Madonna. So you're kind of trying to concentrate, but you're like, it's Madonna.
What a night.
Yeah.
What a time in your life.
Yeah.
So what category were you nominated for?
Best New Artist. I was so sick. I think I had laryngitis.
Okay, and you were up, not against. Let's not guess. Your fellow nominees were. That's a nice way of saying it.
Well, the person that won was, okay. Lauryn Hill from the Fugees. And wow. I'm like, you know, I wasn't expecting to win. I was happy to be there.
Was she at Madonna's party?
No.
Exactly.
No,
so who was the real winner? Huh? She didn't know Bono.
Imagine meeting Madonna and Bono in one night. It's
pretty impressive.
It's pretty epic.
Okay, who else? What's your biggest... I mean, last night, you know, one of the greatest things about being a performer, I would imagine, a musical performer, is getting up on stage and collaborating with a mate. That must be just wonderful. Pressure's off and sort of on, like you described before, because it's not your gig, so it doesn't matter. Oh, no, it matters more because it's somebody else's gig, I suppose.
Yeah, because... These are people you idolise, and to get to work with her was fantastic. Yep. But it's more that you don't want to let them down. Mm. It's one thing you let yourself down at your own show, but it just always feels a little bit more intense to be, you know. I got on stage in Australia with Jacob Collier.
See, this is what I want to know. Tell us about more collaborations.
Jacob Collier, yeah. Do you know him?
No. I've got to be honest.
He does these ridiculous vocal harmonies and he gets the audience involved. I've never seen anything like it. And with his hand, he's doing that and he's got five-part harmonies going with the audience.
So do they go knowing that? Are they aware of the fact that...
People think it's set up, but I was there and I was in the audience. I'm like, how are we doing this? And he's just doing this and we somehow seem to hold the notes.
Why don't we know about Jacob Collier?
Yeah, you've got to check
anybody out. Anybody heard of Jacob Collier? Okay, Will has.
Yeah.
Been to a gig, one of his gigs. Where was that? In the O2, the Indigo? Indigo Lounge at the O2?
Chris Martin told me about him. I said, I need some inspiration. Who are you listening to? And he said, Jacob Collier. I'm obsessed. And this guy's, it's like he's pulling from the ether and he can't get the music out fast enough.
That's probably what he's doing. That's probably how he does it then, I would imagine.
Yeah, he's at another level.
He's otherworldly.
Yeah, he's kind of jazz vibes and yeah. He makes it accessible, though. He makes it fun.
Are you where you want to be? It seems to me you are.
I'm so happy.
You seem really... You've always seemed happy, if I'm being honest.
Yeah, but I think age is such a great... I'm just way more chilled.
If you lean into it. That's the thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
Lean into it.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't you?
I say yes more. And also, if you hang around long enough, people give you an easier time. It's like an old pair of shoes.
Have you heard about Sniper's Alley?
No.
Sniper's Alley. It's in the paper today.
Okay.
You talked about Sniper's Alley, didn't you? You were the first person to talk about Sniper's Alley, I think, Vassos. Sniper's Alley, well, it can be many, many things. Obviously, it can be a Sniper's Alley, which is what you don't want it to be. But metaphorically, there's a period in your life from a health point of view where you go through Sniper's Alley because it's anywhere between 35 and 65, usually between 45 and 55, depending on your physiognomy or whatever, your genes. It's when all these things that could curtail your life prematurely come at you. you know, conditions, illnesses, whatever it may be, consequence of life choices you made or just unfortunate biological conditions. And they come at you. And then apparently if you get through that, you've got 3 slams and then you get another 25 years.
Wow.
And in a way you sort
how
of...
How can I read about this?
Well, because it's just a thing. It's
Sniper's Alley. Is it it's an actual thing or it's a...
Well, no, it's a term.
It's a term.
It's
okay.
A term. So, you know, like you get to midlife and you go for all your checkups and things like that.
Yeah.
And you
sort did that.
Yes, exactly. Well, that's a Sniper's
Alley
thing. It's
quite scary.
Yeah, it is quite
point,
scary.
Like,
but you take it
I'm
on.
I'm doing a heart scan and you're like, oh, gosh.
Yeah. And so what those what those responsible choices maybe inform you of is changes in your lifestyle you might need to make. Because it's all sort of preemptive, isn't it? That's the thing.
That's why I did it. Because you get to a point where you just
exactly.
think, you know what, I'm just going to do all the checks.
All the
make
checks.
Make sure I'm okay.
Yeah, if I need to change anything, I will.
Yeah.
Because I want to get through Sniper's Alley and that Sniper. But you...
I think it's also becoming a parent. I think it's, I'm sorry, but it is. It is, because you're not the most important thing.
Yeah.
I know that's shocking.
No, because I'm a grandparent.
What?
Yeah, I'm a grandparent.
Are you?
I have 2 grandchildren, yeah.
Stop it.
Yeah, seriously. No, bring it on more.
That's cool.
It is. The more, the merrier. Mm. Honestly, it's like the pack mentality. The more kids there are around, the more they sort of look after each other because they don't want to hang out with us anyway. We're boring. They pretend we're not for our own sake.
I just love seeing life through their eyes.
I do.
It's just great. Keeps you young.
I do.
And yeah, so I think that's really helped chill me out, believe it or not.
Yeah,
I
do
believe
it.
Later. Kids? Do I have more than one? As far as I know, there's only one. I just said kids.
It's so cool.
Sorry.
Yeah, but you're shabby chic today because you were on stage with Katie Tunstall.
Dusty.
Sorry, I do apologise because I sort of took us off track there. Sort of Sniper's Alley from a health point of view, but it's similar in showbiz. There is a Sniper's Alley moment, isn't there?
You listen.
Yes.
It's a bit different from me and you. You've always been popular, but when you do. Right?
So,
you can do anything.
No,
it's true.
Or the fingers out.
Even when you were... I'm pointing.
Yes.
Even when you were naughty, you were popular.
Yes.
You could just do anything.
Yes.
But for a female
None
woman
of that
on
is
International
true.
Women's
but no,
Day...
No, it's true. What?
International Women's Day.
Yeah.
For a woman in the music industry, and I don't want to get too political about it.
No, nope, fair enough.
You know, you cop a lot of slack, and there was a misogyny when I was kind of coming up through the ranks that you have to endure.
Yeah.
And it's just nice to kind of get to a maturity and also the changes in the industry where you feel like, you know, it's just an acceptance.
How much has it changed? Has it changed nearly enough? How far does it have to go?
It's changed, but I also do think that younger women in this industry get a harder time. And I think as you get older, there seems to be... Like, I used to get interviewed and sometimes it felt like a battle.
Yeah.
And I don't get that anymore. But is that just because I'm old?
Do you think it's also women being in positions of influence within the industry? You know, so you have women who are now running radio stations more than before. You have women who are in more pivotal positions in record companies more than before. Because that's got to be important, hasn't it?
And I think it's just an evolution. It's a really nice... Things have changed and progressed and... You know, there's still a long way to go in some areas, but I just, from what I'm observing, you know, it's nicer for women coming up through the ranks, which is great.
What do you do when you responsibly still turn up for a radio show like this after having far too much fun the night before? What do you do now after this?
After this?
On a recovery day.
Do you know what time of night I had? I actually had more than half a pizza.
Right.
When I got back to the hotel room. Didn't right. I, Sam? She's nodding. Because she only had 2 pieces.
Is that
she's
a big
smart.
Deal for you?
So I was going to say have breakfast, but I'm still full from the pizza. I'm going to go home and see my son. I'm going to just straight back to him.
And when are you next musicking yourself? Studio
when am
wise,
I next
or...
musicking myself? I'm going into the writing phase because I'm going to do some new music this year. I've got loads of shows lined up for the summer, lots
Brilliant.
Of festivals.
You're the best.
So yeah, it's a great year already for music for me. I don't know when my first one is, Sam. Soon, she's trying to talk to me. I can't hear her.
Beginning
anyway,
of May is when you're next on stage. And will you be, you know, as far as your set's concerned, do you revisit that every year? Do you change it every year?
Well, last year was fun because it was 25 years I left in the middle.
Of course it was, yeah.
So I did a lot of songs that I don't normally do in the set, which was great.
Do people love that?
They do love that.
Excellent.
They do, and I did B-sides and things like that.
Yeah.
But I'll change it again this year. I've got a great band, so you can kind of... Just kind of change it all the time, which is fun.
Okay, and having won The Masked Singer, do you then Are you a fan of it more than you were? Did you watch the last series? Did you see Ricky Wilson come second?
I was in Australia and I was devastated because I really wanted to be guest judge. I would have been guest judge, devastated. And I'm really sorry to everyone at Masked Singer, but I got asked to sing with Andrea Bocelli and I couldn't say no, so I was in Australia.
Darn
singing
that,
with one of
Bocelli.
The best opera singers in the world. That talk about nervous. And you know, then I had his wife saying, come on, you need to be more. And I'm like, but I'm frightened.
It's all right for you.
I'm like, I don't want to bum his, like, bum. I don't want to ruin his top notes. Because she's saying, you know, touch him and all of that on stage because I look so stiff.
Yes.
But imagine an opera singer with a voice like that.
Yes.
What if I bumped him and then he hit a wrong note?
I mean, she meant well, but the way she was communicating.
Well, then I was
the direction.
And the last show I got it right because I was like, okay, the wife's telling me.
How many times did you perform with him?
Three times. I did two shows with an orchestra.
Nice.
But watching someone like that sing was just, I mean.
Lots of Aussies and Brits who straddle Australia and Britain seem to have, that seems to be a really sort of nice combo.
Yeah. Well, I mean, especially in this industry.
What is it about the UK and Australia that seems to have such synergy?
We live on this island away from everything. So we've got, you know, you either want to go to America or UK and Europe.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think in this industry, a lot of us end up here. And yeah, I don't know. It's great because it's connected to more places. Like you have more of an influence of other parts of the world. When you're in Australia, if you think about it, you're.
But Brits seem to go down very well in Australia. Like a lot of UK comedians are as big, if not bigger in Australia than
Jimmy Carr's out there now.
Yeah, I know.
I saw him on the project.
I saw him in his little knitted Jimmy Carr that he takes everywhere with him.
Well,
have you seen it?
No, I haven't.
So when instead of doing a selfie on Instagram, he has his little knitted Jimmy Carr.
Oh my God.
I think it's hilarious.
But his sense of humour would be so well received down under,
because,
don't you think? Well, I mean, they love a bit of controversial,
kind of
on the edge
humour.
I saw he was on The Project, which is one of the biggest TV shows, kind of panel shows in Australia. And and he was just...
Did he kill it?
Because he's on the edge and they love that there.
He's so clever.
Isn't he?
Have you seen Chris Hemsworth's documentary on sharks?
No.
It's awesome.
Okay.
Right? And I can't remember where he filmed it. Would it be a Gold Coast thing? Would that be a Gold Coast
Byron
thing?
Byron Bay.
Now, here's my question. In it, he's in a house, right? And the house is beautiful.
It's huge.
Well, hang on a second. It's stunning, right? And you think, that's clearly his house where he's doing that from. And you think, but what did he do from his house? Of course, because that's a gorgeous house. It must be his house. So you Google his house, and his house is 10 times nicer than the house I thought was the nicest house I've ever seen. Have you been to his house?
I haven't been to his house.
Have you been past this house?
Because I have property in Byron Bay.
Right.
And so my friend is a pilot, and so he takes me up in a chopper.
Oh, I love.
And I've seen it from the helicopter.
Did you say ginormous? Did you say, can we go over Chris Hemsworth's house, or did he
I said, can we go shark spotting? Don't ever do that. Speaking of sharks,
all right.
I saw 11.
They're everywhere.
And I was like, why would you ever get in the water? But
they're everywhere. There's a guy called the Malibu Artist who operates out of the Shark Centre in Malibu, and he sends up a drone every day. And he says, if you are swimming off Doom Point, you will be swimming around sharks. You just are.
But we always have been. We just didn't have drones. We just didn't know about it. I wish I didn't know about it. I wish I didn't go in the chopper and have a look for them. They're behind the whitewash, so they're so far out. It's not like...
Anyway, back to Chris Hemsworth's house and you having
I've not been to the house.
Having a nosy.
Chris, if you're listening... next time I'm in Byron, invite me over.
Now, Byron Bay to me, because Colwyn Bay, we have in Wales, we have Colwyn Bay, which is about, I don't know, a quarter of a mile. So I'm thinking Byron Bay, maybe a bit bigger as Australia, maybe a mile.
Sorry, what was the question?
How big is Byron Bay? Is it about a mile?
I don't know. It's small.
So it is small?
It's small, but everybody, because Chris moved there, now everybody, Hollywood's trying to move into...
The Hemsworth effect.
The Hemsworth effect.
Right.
So, yeah, so more paparazzi. I sound like I'm being mean now. There was paparazzi before, but, you know, he's a massive star.
He also seems extremely nice.
He is, very down
to
earth.
Do you know him well?
I do know him.
And his brother as well.
I was at the... Liam, yes. Yeah. I was at the Actors Awards. I performed at the Actors Awards whilst I was in Australia, and he won an award, and I congratulated him when he came off stage. He's done so well.
He's done very well. Okay, you've done very well, and I hope it continues literally forever.
Thank you.
You and all your kids...
Oh, my kids. I mean, Dusty or what?
Yeah. Well done. Thanks for coming in. You didn't need to today. You didn't need to come in
I
today.
I love, listen.
I know.
Anytime you invite me, I will be here.
Thank you very much, Natalie Imbruglia. International Women's Day, a special tonight, 7 p.m. on Virgin Radio. The women who have influenced and inspired the great Natalie Imbruglia, who is now doing the same, which is the best thing you can do. Pay it forward.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.